With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, Old Testament reading, Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his sin, in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge and give again that he hath robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, The way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, The way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, The city is smitten. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, afore he that was escaped came, and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was opened, and I was no more dumb. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. the land is given us for inheritance. Wherefore say ye unto them, thus saith the Lord, ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? Ye stand upon your sword, ye work abomination, and ye defile every one his neighbor's wife, and shall ye possess the land? Say thou thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the wastes shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beasts to be devoured, and they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate, because of all their abominations which they have committed. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. I think that if we were all going to be brutally honest with ourselves, we would say that this is not one of the most comfortable passages that we've ever read. Certainly there is a section or several sections in this passage where the Lord calls out not only his people, but he calls out the ministry, the ministers as well. No one seems to be spared the Lord's corrections here. And what shall we say when we come to a passage like this? Well, we know what some have said. Some have said, you know, this is Old Testament. We don't really much pay attention to it or read it much anymore. That cannot be our response. But we do understand how it is that if there were a theology present that would indeed keep such difficulties from our hearing, how we might be inclined to take it. It's an important passage. The Apostle Paul will allude to it in Acts chapter 20, where he says to the Ephesian elders, I am free from the blood of all men, because I have not drawn back from declaring unto you all the counsel of God. When he says, I am free from the blood of all men, he is referencing verses 1 through 9 of this passage, where Ezekiel is set as a watchman on the wall. And the Lord says, when you see the wicked, you must warn him as his watchman. And if you do not warn him as his watchman, he will die in his sins, but I will require his blood at your hands. The apostle will go on to say, I am free from the blood of all men, precisely for that reason, because I have not drawn back from declaring unto you all the counsel of God. I've warned when it's time to warn. That's what Paul means. I've encouraged when it's time to encourage. I've given warning and threatening and rebuking when such is necessary, even censure when such is necessary, and so on. And then there are other times where I have been encouraging and comforting to the people of God. And all those things must be in the stock and store of the ministry. So, we live, I think, in an age where We have come across passages like Ezekiel 33, and they have been professedly difficult for us to hear. We've shied away from those passages to the more comfortable passages of the Word of God, and in thus preferring the more comfortable over the more convicting, I do not believe we have done ourselves good service in that. So Ezekiel then is roundly warned by the Lord that he is a watchman. It's not, hey, Ezekiel, you want to be a watchman? Here's what it's about. Maybe you can make a choice to see whether or not this is your job or not. No, I have set thee a watchman. You will warn them from me. That's the point. And we have seen these kinds of passages elsewhere. Isaiah 58, I believe, begins with, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, reveal unto my people their sins." In other words, be a good watchman, warn them from me. So those kinds of passages, those warning passages, whether it be in this case to the ministry at the beginning of this, and then speaking about warnings that are to go forth to the people of God, those are things that must not be ignored by us. And I will tell you, as a minister, it's much easier to preach things where we all are doing this and it's very comfortable and so on, right? We must not imbibe ourselves in comforts simply for the sake of comfort. We must pursue for the truth's sake. The ministry must and the membership must together. So that's the first section there, verses 1 through 9. Now we have verses 10 through 20. And this is that section where the Lord says, remember those that are outwardly righteous. They receive some commendation for their righteousness, and they begin to presume upon the mercy of God. They think, like we've said before, they have a gravy train with biscuit wheels to heaven. They can't be assaulted at all. There's nothing that could keep them. No amount of apostasy threatens them, and so they go on presumptuously, and in their presumption, notice, they are condemned. The Lord condemns them in that presumption, because they end up, that presumption leads to overt wickedness. And then, notice also the wicked. They receive the warnings from the Lord. They are apprised of their wickedness. They repent and do that which is that fruit that is meet for repentance. They show proper fruits of repentance. Notice that this is not a meritorious exchange. It is rather a very real world look at how people live when they come under repentance. And so their lives change. And that changed life evinces to the truth of their repentance and their faith in God and their faith in Christ and His gospel. And they turn from their wickedness. And the Lord says their wickedness will not be remembered. And so notice what we might call in this second section, the great exchange. The righteous are exchanged for the wicked, and the wicked are exchanged for the righteous. The other thing that is very important in this passage is the Lord, as it were, anthropopathically holds his heart out to the people of God. And he says, I have given you a watchman to teach you about your sins that you might repent. So let me ask you this question, why will you die? I have done, I have moved, I have acted, I have stretched my hand out to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Listen to me. Instead of being offended at the warnings, listen and hear and repent. I know that some have taken that passage as something other than anthropopathically. I think it is an anthropopathic speech that the Lord would use toward us to help us toward repentance. I think it's very clear what the Lord is doing here. He has provided the means of repentance, commanded us to repent and to turn from our wickedness as the way of life. So we ought to do that. Third section in the chapter has to do with the 12th year of the captivity, and this is 21 through 29. And so there comes a man that has escaped out of Jerusalem. I want to remind you that this is a fulfillment of the prophecy that the Lord uttered to Ezekiel in chapter 24. What was the verse? Let me look at my notes. 24:26. In 24:26, the Lord said, there's going to come one from Jerusalem to tell you that the city has been destroyed. And now it comes to pass here in chapter 33. And so he comes, and the Lord continues then from the mouth of his watchman to take away from them every false hope and to shut them up to faith and obedience. Notice what the people of God are continuing to say. We have great confidence that the land and the city will be ours. Great confidence. You know why? Because Abraham was just one guy and God gave it to him. And we're the children of Abraham and are many, so certainly God will give it to us. And the Lord says, really bad reasoning. Really bad reasoning. You commit adultery, you eat with the blood, you sacrifice to idols, and shall you inherit the land? I hope that we realize as heirs of the Reformed Presbyterian tradition, the biblical tradition of Reformed Presbyterianism and regulated worship, how seriously the Lord takes idolatry. He mentions it here, along with lifting up their eyes to their idols and other perversions of the worship of God. Shall you inherit the land when you have all of those sins that have attached themselves to your skirts and you walk around with them and adorn them? Shall that be your heritage? Can you really say that this is your heritage? And you've referenced Abraham. Notice that when Christ comes, 500 and something years later, that they're still doing that. In John chapter 8, we have Abraham for our father. And Jesus says, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed the truth that God told him. Now, I have told you the truth, and you've accused me of being the prince of devils. Abraham didn't do that. This did not Abraham. So there is such a thing then as being the children of Abraham according to birth and the children of Abraham by faith. And so that is the third section. I'm hustling here to get to the end. 30 through 33. It's the most grievous end to this chapter. So notice, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and the doors of the houses and speak to one another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word of the Lord that cometh forth from the word. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Well, there's no age of the church in which this could not be an indictment of the people of God. We all have this tendency to come to a sermon like a buffet, to take that and leave that, take that and leave that, to stand in judgment over the word of the Lord rather than the word of the Lord judging us instead. It's exacerbated some in our day, I think, because we have so many wonderful ministers that are available at the touch of a button to our ears at any time of day or night, that we have a tendency, it is easier for us than it has been in ages past, to appreciate rightly the local ministry that the Lord has given to us in our own churches. The Lord had given them a prophet, Ezekiel. He spoke to them the word of God from the mouth of God. They heard it like a very lovely song. In other words, they enjoyed it. But they did not make use of it. And after they heard it, their hearts continued after their own covetousness. That's the point that's being made here. Let that not be true among us. Now, in the next chapter, in chapter 34, the Lord will open with a roar against those ministers that feed upon the sheep. So it's not only the people that fall under God's warning and condemnation here. The ministry also falls under God's condemnation. And in that day, with Ezekiel as a rare exception, those condemnations had their due fruit upon the ministry and upon the people. They were indeed wicked, and it turned away from the word of the Lord in such a way that when they were warned, they refused to repent and desired instead smooth words. The Lord says at the end of the chapter, when this comes to pass, and the this there is the entire destruction of the land that was spoken of in the prior section. When this comes to pass, then they will acknowledge that a prophet had been among them and that they refused to hear. Thus ends the reading of Ezekiel chapter 33.